Welcome to a deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Philippians. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
Now a Bible study time this evening. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are. You are the God who hear and answer prayers. Now, Lord, we ask that you will just be with us this evening in a mighty way. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength, my redeemer. Besides you, there is no other. Speak to our hearts tonight. In a mighty way, give all your people a rhema word, a word in due season, the word that they are looking for that can help them be a better Christian for thee. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, we have finally made it to the final chapter of the book of Philippians. The key words, or some of the key words in the book of Philippians is what? Joy and rejoice. Amen. Amen. And so tonight I want to give you four other key words. Four other words, and all of them are going to be starting with P. And as we come to the last chapter of the book, he's going to really focus in on us practicing some things. We're going to be practicing some things. Because what good is really being a Christian if you're not a practicing Christian? You need to be a practicing Christian if you're going to be a Christian. It's like a doctor. A doctor, if he's not going to be practicing his profession, he needs to take down his sign, don't he? Amen. He don't need to be wearing no MD if he's no longer going to practice a profession of the doctor. In the same way, if we're not going to be practicing Christian, if we're not going to be practicing our profession of faith, then we don't need to be wearing that label of a Christian. Is I'm right about it? Amen. 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 Let's take a look at our lesson tonight. Paul first challenged us to practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. That's that first P word. Practice the presence of God. I think I gave them to you there in the lesson. Practice the presence of God. In the first few verses, verses 1 through verse number 4, Paul encourages these two ladies. They had gotten into it in the church. And these two ladies, they was workmen of the Lord. And they had gotten into a big dispute. So Paul is stepping in, trying to tell these ladies they shouldn't argue like that in the church. In verse 3, he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clemens also, and with the others, my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Paul said, y'all step in and try to resolve this conflict. See, one of the ways that the devil can stop or can sidetrack a church is get a church focusing on a conflict, or to get a church bogged down in personal disputes where people begin to start having personal problems one with another. And see, if a church can start turning inward and focusing on internal matters, they can never go out and reach the community for Christ. See, that's what the devil, that's his whole strategy. is to get you so wrapped up in personal matters where you have a personal problem with another believer in the church until you forget about doing the work of Christ. See, when you get so wrapped up in personal matters in the church, basically then you are carrying out the devil's business. See, the word Satan basically means adversary, the devil, slander. The words basically mean slander, accuser of the brethren. And so when you're going around in church accusing the brethren, the devil say, well, I can go on to another church because I done got them taking care of my business over there. And see, as long as you can get wrapped up in small matters, then you can never handle the major matters. As long as you get wrapped up in these personal problems, you can never take care of the Father's business. And God has saved you to take care of the Father's business. Is you with me tonight? All right, now, how do we practice then the presence of God? How do we practice the presence of God? Well, it's when we rejoice and remember that the Lord is always at hand. When we rejoice and remember, the Lord is at hand. Wait a minute. Why should we rejoice? Down here at verse number 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why does Paul keep telling us to rejoice? Remember back over in chapter 3, verse number 1? He says, Fallon, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, is not cumbersome, but for you it is safe. He said, I'm trying to help you stay on the right road. And the way to stay on the right road is to rejoice. The way to stay on the right road is to rejoice, is to praise God. That's why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning your life. It says in everything. It didn't say for everything. It says in everything. There's a big difference between for everything and in everything. See, if you have a flat out there, you don't go out there and say, oh, thank you, Jesus, I got a flat. Thank you, Jesus, yippee. No, that's rejoicing concerning your circumstances. You are rejoicing because of the circumstances. No, 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 he didn't ask you to rejoice because of the circumstances. He said rejoice in the circumstances. In other words, you rejoice. You go out there, you find out you have a flat. You say, well, praise God. You know, at least I made it here. I could have had the flat out there on the street, out there on the highway. So you find something good to praise God for, because what God always do, remember this, whatever done hit you is not what could have hit you. See, what God is doing in heaven, God acts just like a traffic cop. And there are so many things that are coming in your life. And God says, okay, I'll let this come on because they're ready. They can handle this. But there are some things you can't handle yet. So God said, wait a minute. I'm going to have to put a stop on this here. This particular trouble, this problem, they can't handle this problem yet. So God, he acts as a traffic cop. He says, no, I'm not going to let this problem come because they're not strong enough to handle it yet. So if something do come in your life, that means you can handle it. God already done gave it the okay to come there. And so you ought to praise God for it, even in the midst of your trial, that God's looked at you as worthy as handling that situation. Oh, that's good news. You'll catch it on the way home. You'll catch that on your way home. You'll catch that on the way home. There's some things that you can handle this year that you couldn't handle last year if you are a growing Christian. And so you ought to praise God that the tests are getting stronger and bigger and everything, because that lets you know that you're growing. See, the old folks said it this way: God ain't going to put no more on you than you can bear. Is I'm right about it? So if it comes into your life, that means it had to come through God. It had to pass by him first. And how many of you know there's nothing to get past God that God have to say, slip, oops, that one got through me. See, if it got to you, that means it had to come through God. And God looked at you as being worthy of the test. And let me tell you something. Those who God loved the most, he often put through the greatest trials. Those that God loved the most, he often put them through the greatest test. God loved Abraham, and then here come the test. Go put Isaac on the altar. God loved Jesus, and what did he put Jesus on the cross? See, God is looking at you as being worthy for the test, because see, the greater the test, catch this, the greater the prize, the greater the reward at the end. So if it's a big test, that means God's got a big reward for you. In order to get the big reward, you got to go through the biggest test. You don't get the Super Bowl. How many of y'all watched the Super Bowl the other week? You don't get the Super Bowl trophy without going through the playoffs. They just don't hand you the trophy. No, you got to earn that. They went through the greatest test. The Indianapolis Colts. That's why they got the trophy. They had to go through them Chargers and all them other good teams in order to get there. Amen. Amen. So if you got the greatest, if you in the championship game, that means that you playing for the biggest trophy. So if you got the biggest test, that means you got the biggest reward on the way. Are y'all with me? Are y'all getting this? So the way to handle the practice, the presence of God, is to rejoice. When you are rejoicing, you are singing to God. You are singing to God. How do I, this brother is present, isn't he? How can I show that I know this brother is present? By talking to him. You see, by talking to him, by acknowledging him. See, when I'm praying to the Lord, or singing to the Lord, that lets the Lord know that I know you right there. I'm practicing the presence of God. Amen. One of the worst things you can do is to ignore a person. Anybody like to be egged? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, I didn't know if y'all knew what I was talking about. That's what we say down south, you know. Egging somebody. They see me here, they egging me. Nobody like to be egged, do they? Amen. And see, the way that you show that you egging somebody is what? When they show up, you don't even look their way. You turn your back on them. You act like you don't even see them. Sometimes you can just look over a person. They see me, but they be acting like they don't see you. When you pray, you are practicing the presence of God. See, if y'all was in a big argument. Y'all, too, was in a big argument. I mean, y'all just really, I mean, y'all throwing down in the church house. That's right. They throwing down even in the church house. Now, what if you knew that God was on the end of that bench? Would you be throwing down? If you knew God was on the end of the bench there, huh? What about you? You wouldn't be throwing down? Why? Because you know God is present. Guess what? He is at the end of the bench. He is at the end of the bench. He at the end of the bench, the middle of the bench. That he behind the bench, in front of the bench. All around the bench. He's everywhere. That's why you have to practice the presence of God. See, that's what he says here in the text. He says, verse number 5, let your mortification be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. You need to be acting like Jesus is right next to you. Amen. See, a lot of time we say, oops, they don't want to make me mad. Because I can give them a piece of my mind. No, you better keep the piece of your mind. Amen. Amen. Hey, have you seen people that say stuff like that? And you know, a lot of people who say stuff like that, they ain't got but a little piece to give. Have you noticed that? They need to hold on. Matter of fact, they need to go get what they done lost. They don't need to be giving no more pieces of their mind away. Hold on to it. You need to be acting like the Lord is at hand. All right, so you need to practice the presence of God. Luke 18 and 1. You know what Luke 18 and 1 says? In Luke 18 and 1, Jesus says, men should always pray lest they faint. Lest you're going to get give up, lest you're going to give up and give in to the ways of the devil. You should always pray. Do that means that you go and get on your knees all the time? No. That means you just practice the presence of God. You just live with a conscience of knowing that God is right with you. So somebody who curse you out, just say, hey, I ain't got to curse you because God heard that. I don't have to worry about it. You know, a lot of time folks try to egg you on. Child, if that was me, I wouldn't let nobody in them talk to me like that. You can say, no, God heard all of that, sister. I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried about that. No, we're going to have to pray for that sister. Because I don't want God to thump him side the head right quick. So we're going to have to pray for that sister right quick. Amen. That God have mercy on that sister. Because the Bible says it's better to put a millstone around your neck and you jump into the sea rather than to offend one of my little ones. People just don't know what they're doing when they start messing with God's children. And so you don't have to fight for yourself. You let the Lord fight your battles. So you practice the presence of God that way. All right? So by rejoicing and remembering. You're remembering that God is right there with you. Amen? Why is it that we only practice the presence of God in church? People give some best testimonies in church. They do. They give some of the best testimonies in church. I mean, they give good testimony. And I mean, man, it's beautiful in church. But what happened outside of church? Where did God go? You know, they talk about how God done brought them through the storm and through the rain. Matter of fact, they sang the song, I Can See the Sun Peeping Through the Cloud. I can see it. But what about when you get home and start fussing and cussing? Huh? Where did God go? Huh? You see what I'm saying? Did we leave him at church? Somebody can even tell you, oh, don't go there. Don't go. No, child, she done got on my last nerve. And we go there. But we need to practice. We need to be better than that and rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I can tell when my wife done got mad at me and stuff. You know what she do? She'll go in the kitchen and she'll be cooking or doing something, and she just starts singing a song. And you know, I'd be wanting to follow her in the kitchen, and we're going to settle this. But when I started hearing her sing them song, I said, oh. You know, man, yeah, you can't help but walk away. You know, it kind of mess up a good argument. Amen. Start singing about Jesus and stuff. Amen. Amen. And so, but that's practicing the presence of God. And a lot of time after you start singing, you start feeling the Spirit. And it ain't never as bad as it once was. And see, that's what the devil want to do. He want to put the magnifying glass on it and blow it all out of proportion. Well, y'all go to bed mad at each other. Matter of fact, you go in there and get your pillow. I ain't even sleeping here tonight. Go get your pillow. No, just practice the presence of God. And when you practice the presence of God, you'll feel God's presence. Amen? Number two, then it talks about practicing the peace of God. Practicing the peace of God. How do you practice the peace of God? You practice the peace of God when you have the right praying, right thinking, and right living. Can we look at this in the text? Can we look at this in the text? Do y'all want to look at this in the text? Let's look at it in the text then, verse 6. It says, be anxious or worried for nothing. Do you know why people worry? Before I talk about the peace, do you know why folks worry? It's because they're not practicing the presence of God. See, if you are in need, you need $100. If you knew God was sitting right here, who have all power in his hands, who got all the provisions of heaven, resources, would you be worried? But if you don't think God is here, then what you gonna do? You're gonna worry because you think that it's just me up against this problem. But when you put God between you and your problem and practice the presence of God, then that eliminates the worry. Look at what the Bible says. It says, be anxious for nothing. Somebody say nothing. But in everything. Somebody say everything. By prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He says, don't worry about nothing, but pray about everything. Do you see the principle? He says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Somebody didn't get it. You worry about nothing, and you pray about everything.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah, yeah.